Praise forever to the King of Kings. All right, come on up, guys. What about all you the teenagers who think they're now too big to come up here and do this? All right, here comes Jack. Why don't you come over and sit with her, Dad? Here comes A.B. and Aubrey and Caleb. All right. Here comes Ruby and her little brother. Now we're getting there. All right. Now, I realize that your attention span is about, you know, that long, but we're going to deal with it anyway. Yes. What's your question? What?
She don't see Alexis.
You don't see Alexis. I do. Okay. All right. Here she comes. It's the cool people that get to sit up here, Alexis. It's the uncool people have to stay back there. Yes. It is Jesus' birthday coming up later this week. Yes, it is. Now, I'm going to ask some questions, and after I ask some questions, then you can raise your hand and give me some answers if you want. Okay? After I ask questions, then you raise your hands and give me some answers. Just wait. Okay, all right, cool. We know that it's Jesus' birthday. We know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He's our Redeemer. We know that sometime around this time of year, we think, Jesus came to this world. But my question to you is, why did Jesus come? All right, what do you think?
Because he was born.
Because he was born. Well, that had something to do with it. Yeah, what do you think, darling?
From our sins.
To save us from our sins. Well, that is a good answer. What's your answer? All right, you think about that for a minute. Well, I want to take you to a couple of scriptures. You see, it's one thing for me to say why Jesus came, but Jesus told us why he came. In the book of Luke, chapter 19, and verse number 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And over here in 1 Timothy, again, we read, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." That means this saying is something that everybody ought to accept as being true. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why Jesus came, to save sinners. Now, it said in Luke 19 that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. What's it mean to be lost? Have you ever been lost?
We have sinned.
You've been lost? How you been lost? Anybody ever been lost in a store like Walmart or supermarket? Okay, so you know what it feels like to be lost. Why does Jesus tell us that he's come to seek and save people that are lost? What does that mean?
He's going to save us from our sins.
Well, okay. So people who are in their sins, would they be called lost people? Yeah, that's right. That's exactly who he's talking about. What do you think lost means?
Like, you're lost. Like, if you're in a store, you're looking at something and your mom leaves and you don't know where you are.
You're looking at something in the store and your mom leaves and you turn around and she's gone and you don't know where she went.
And when my mom says, "Come over here," and I'm looking at something and she leaves, and then when I turn around, she's gone.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. Mary was talking about her little one when he was little this morning that he thought she was lost. So, can you imagine? Okay, that's good, Caleb. Amen. Good job. Can you imagine somebody that's lost but they don't know they're lost? They think they know where they're at. They think that, you know, maybe the part of town they're in looks familiar. And they, I know the way home, but they keep going and going and going and going. But they're never able to get where they're trying to go because they're lost and they didn't know they were lost. Did you know? Now, granted, some of you, some of the older ones like Jack and Lexi and maybe a couple more, you've already figured out that you're lost. You had to come to a place that one day said, you know, I'm lost. But you weren't talking about being lost at the supermarket, and you weren't talking about being lost on the road, not being able to find your way home or whatever. You had to realize that something's wrong here. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get where I need to be. I'm lost. That happened to you, Jack, didn't it? Yeah. What'd that feel like?
Good.
To know that you were lost?
I'm guessing that it
felt good when you found out you were lost to know that you had someone who was able to save you. Yeah, amen. That part does feel good. Okay, yes, go ahead, buddy.
Would another version of loss be that you're not exactly sure of what path of life you're supposed to go in?
Yeah, not sure what path of life you should go in. Yes, darling, go ahead.
When I was looking for some stuff, when my mom was getting some stuff, yesterday we were at a store and we got some stuff, and my mom said to come here every time I looked at something. I was like,
well, mothers are like that sometimes. They get that way, don't they? Yeah, they are. When Jack and Lexi realized that they were lost, Tara actually recently realized that she was lost. And it wasn't like being lost at a supermarket. Can you describe to me what it was like to discover that you were lost in the biblical sense of the word, what the Bible's talking about? Dear, what was it like when you discovered you were lost according to the Bible? Like when you discovered that you really needed to be saved because you weren't, and you had no future and without the Lord. And sometimes people, and I want to say this to others that may be out in the audience today, sometimes people don't come to Jesus when they first realize that they're lost. Sometimes they tend to stay that way for a long time, sometimes. Now, Jack, you didn't stay that way very long when you realized you were lost, did you? No. And see, that's so important that children are raised up in God's house so that when they realize that they're lost, they don't have to stumble through life year after year after year doing stupid stuff and heading the wrong direction and making mistakes that have consequences that last your whole life. But they're able to meet the Savior quickly and handle the problem. I stayed lost for a long time, at least 10 years after I first knew that I was lost. But I didn't think that there was anything that I could do to help me, that anyone could do to help me. I was told when I was growing up that my only help would be if I lived a good enough life. Then that's what Jesus came and told me afterwards. That's what I learned. I learned that I had been lied to. I had been told wrong. I had been deceived. I was thinking that the only salvation, the only hope for me was to live good enough that God would be pleased with me, and knowing that I couldn't do it. I did know that I couldn't do it. What I learned was about Christmas, about why Jesus came. Jesus came to do for me what I could not do for myself. He came to be my Savior, knowing that there's no way I could ever live righteously, no way I could ever be good enough. No matter what I ever did, I would still be so far behind, falling so far short of what God required. God requires holiness, righteousness, and the only way we get that is that if we receive it as a free gift. But that gift could not come except something else had to happen first. The penalty of my sin had to be paid for. Because God is not just a merciful and loving God, He's also a just God. He doesn't allow sin to go unpunished. He doesn't allow sinners into heaven like they are. Only if we're transformed into the righteous can we be qualified to go to heaven. And you can't do that yourself. Nobody can do that. It takes one person and one only to do that. Who is he? Yeah, God, Jesus. Did you know that Jesus is God? He is. He is God having taken on the body of a man to come and to live a perfect life. You know, when the shepherds heard from the angels, we're going to read that story here in just a minute from Luke chapter 2. When the angels came to the shepherds and they announced what had just happened. They announced the baby, the Messiah, had just been born. And that he was alive and well and in a cradle of sorts. It was a feed trough in a stable, not very far from them. Did you know that the shepherds were keeping their sheep on a hillside just outside of Jerusalem, between Jerusalem and Bethlehem? And they were so close to Bethlehem, where the stable was, that you can actually, from that hillside where the sheep were kept, you could see that city, that little town. It wasn't much of a city, it was a little bitty place. But you could see the buildings of Bethlehem from where the shepherds were keeping their sheep. So let's read this. We're going to read the passage from Luke chapter 2. You ready? Everybody paying attention? Here we go. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, the Romans thought the whole world was their empire at the time. That's what this is talking about. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Now, what's a manger? It's a trough that they use to put cattle feed and sheep feed in for the animals to eat. If you fill it with straw and you put blankets over it, it makes a pretty nice place for a baby to sleep. Yeah, kind of like a bed. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. That's baby blanket stuff. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them. Now, every time an angel shows up and speaks to somebody, it just scares the living daylights out of them. I mean, they're scared every time. It says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, I like that part. Which shall be to all people. Are you a people?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is for you. This is not just for, the special people or the good people or the cool people. This is for all people. Jesus paid for the sins for everybody. Nobody is left out. The only way that anyone can be left out of having their sins taken care of by the Lord is to neglect placing their trust in Him. Jack, did you trust Jesus to save you?
Pretty sure.
Pretty sure? We'll talk about that. We want to make sure. Amen? Lexi, did you trust Jesus to save you?
Yes.
Yes. That's a good, solid answer. I could ask each one of you individually, did you trust Jesus to save you from your sins? And if you have, you could tell me about when it was and when it happened and all the circumstances around it. Because it's something that has to happen in everyone's life for them to be saved, for them to be redeemed. And so the angel said, "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." How many babies you suppose were sleeping in a cattle trough, a feed trough in Bethlehem that night?
One.
Probably just one. Yeah. Probably just one. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. How many is a multitude? We don't know exactly, but it is a lot. It is a bunch. Would you say a multitude was like 10? No, that's really not as much, but maybe 100? Yeah, bigger. Maybe thousands. There was a multitude of the heavenly host. Heavenly host, what's that talking about? That's talking about angels. You know how many angels the Lord made? It says that they are innumerable. Too many to count. That's what innumerable means. Yeah, Google, you can look it up. Google doesn't even know. That's pretty cool. Google. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying. Now, you've heard us praising God. Do we get loud when we praise God sometimes? Yeah, amen. Mary does anyway. She knows how to do it. If you want to know how to praise God, just watch Mary. She'll show you what to do. And what were they saying? Glory to God in the highest. That's pretty cool. Can you say that? That doesn't sound very exciting.
God in the highest.
All right. Let's do it. Let's all together. You want to let them do it with us? Okay. On three. One, two, three. Glory to God in the highest. Wow. That'll send a chill up your back. Amen. Man, can you imagine a sky filled with angels all shouting, praise God, glory to God in the highest? Man, what a night. What an event. That was incredible. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." Would you want to go see? The angels told you about this babe. He's lying in a manger in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is over there about less than maybe a mile away. These guys are used to walking. Would you go see? Would you say, I'm a little sleepy. It's late and I'll go check it out tomorrow. Would you go see?
My Gigi and Papa went to Bethlehem one time.
That's good, yeah. I tried, but they wouldn't let me in. Bethlehem was kind of off limits. The Muslims have pretty much taken over that part. But it tells us here that they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, just like the angel said. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. One of these days, it's going to seem like a long time to you, but it's really not. One of these days, you're going to discover that you're lost. You're going to realize that I've sinned. I've disobeyed God. I've done wrong. And I don't want to face the consequences of that. And you will have heard about Jesus many times. You will have heard that he came to this world as a baby and that he lived a perfect life. And that on purpose, voluntarily, he died on the cross. He gave his life. Did Jesus have any sin to pay for of his own? No, he didn't. He paid for ours. And because he's God, not just an ordinary human, he paid for all of our sins. Everybody. You're not left out. No one is left out. When you discover that you're lost, you need to come talk to me or Justin or your mom or your dad, that if they know the Lord and they live for the Lord and they know what they're talking about. You need to talk to somebody. The Bible says that purposes are not fulfilled without wise counsel. The Bible says that God has chosen, but through the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. You think those shepherds believed in the Messiah that night? After the angel? I mean, who would not believe that Jesus was the Savior if a multitude of angels came and told you? You know, we have something that's even better than that. We have the Word of God. The Word of God, which cannot lie. The Word of God, which has been proven true over and over and over and over again. Absolute. We have God's promise that if we, upon realizing that we're lost, we, upon realizing that we've sinned and come short of God's glory, will come to Jesus in our heart and put our trust in him. Now, you know what it's like to trust people. Sometimes you've trusted people and they've let you down. But we know what trust is. Jesus won't let you down. He will never let you down. Every single person on the planet that has ever put their trust in Jesus to save them from their sins is going to heaven. No exceptions. You say, well, what if I don't live good enough? I've got some good news for you, because Jesus lived good enough for you. He did it for you in your place. Amen? So when Christmas comes, Christmas morning shows up. How many of you make your parents make you wait till Christmas morning before you get to open presents? Yes. You don't want to wait. It wouldn't be special if you didn't have to wait. I think it's a wonderful idea that you have to wait. The anticipation and all that is so cool. So who are you going to be thankful to come Christmas morning when you get to open a present? Yeah? Jesus? The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above, down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God never changes. He doesn't change his mind. All the good things, every good thing, not just salvation, not just going to heaven, but every good thing about life that there is to be thankful for comes from our Father's hand. What a blessing to live as one of God's children. It's the best life there is. Satan would tell you that you have to give up all the good stuff, all the cool things to be a Christian. You know how I told you that I'd been lied to? That I'd been told that I had to live good enough to get to heaven? Well, I was lied to. Well, Satan lies to you, telling you that you're going to lose out on the cool stuff if you put your trust in Jesus and become a real Christian. Not only will you not miss out on the good stuff, you will get in on the best stuff. Far better than anything this world has to offer. So, Christmas for us, going to be about Jesus, right? Yeah. All right. Exclusively? That means he's the only one? Yes? Yes, sir. Yes. Amen.